Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast for your Monday Night Raw review that aired last night, August 3rd, 2020. What a weird night. It felt like three angles began in one. So we're going to talk about everything that happened with Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton's promo. We're going to talk about the masked men attacking the generator at the Performance Center. We're going to talk about the Underground Raw Underground, the Fight Club, whatever you want to call it, and a lot more in a very strange Raw. Let's break it all down right after this. Hey guys, so the NFL season is right around the corner, and what better way to get yourself ready for the season than to check out clips on YouTube? Well, that's why you should check out Highlight Fanatics. It's a brand new YouTube channel dedicated to giving you some highlight entertainment. So what exactly are these highlights? Well, how about NFL's biggest hits? Tom Brady's six rings, NFL social distancing, and the NFL's biggest wide open drops. So check out Highlight Fanatics on YouTube and get yourself ready for the NFL season. Guys, this is going to be one of those YouTube channels that takes off, so get in early. Check out Highlight Fanatics on YouTube today. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global. onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global, and there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, it'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground, and this is going to be huge, guys, I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own, any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
All right, guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast for this Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. And we have a bizarre Monday Night Raw to discuss. Really weird. And I'm sure some of you out there think I'm going to completely destroy Raw. And I would say, as a whole, you are mistaken. As a whole, I would say you're mistaken. I think what you saw last night was a shake up of the formula. It was WWE being awoken to the fact that their ratings are as low as they are, and Vince can make all the excuses he wants about the pandemic and everything else, and about, you know, people being cord cutters and not having cable, so it's more mostly on demand and all that stuff. the fact of the matter is, Fox ain't happy about it, right? USA isn't happy about it. So he can say all he wants, and some of that may be true or not, but the fact remains that when you have ratings as historically low as you do, you're going to have your networks react, because advertising dollars are on the line for everyone involved. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, is ad revenue for WWE. And hence what you saw last night was a result of really being shook to the core of trying to shake things up. And that's what it felt like. It felt not like a panic move. It didn't feel like a panic move by WWE, albeit we had a McMahon last night on Raw. And anytime WWE wants to spike the ratings a bit, their ultimate solution, it's the go-to, bring a McMahon on TV. And to their credit, it has been proven in the past when a McMahon returns or makes an appearance that the wrestling community does buzz and the ratings do go up, typically. Now, how they're going to explain the fact that Kevin Owens defeated him and said that he is gone from WWE, I don't know how they're going to explain that, but that's the mindset of Vince. It doesn't matter. Fans don't remember. Fans don't care. Well, I remember and I care. Anybody else remember Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon's stipulation? Yep, I do. Well, that's out the window. And you know what? I don't care. I care for story congruity and rewarding fans for paying attention to detail and following through on stories. But in this case, I understand their move here. They really went outside the box and doing what they did with multiple things last night. What they did with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. I mean, something that's overlooked here, I think, amid everything else that happened. It was supposed to be somewhat of a shoot. I think there were some real elements in there, and we're going to break down that promo later in the show. But that's overlooked, I think, amid everything else that happened with the Hurt Business and the Masked Man attacking the generator outside of the Performance Center, causing the power outage, and Raw Underground, i.e. Fight Club. So this very much felt like a premiere of a season or a season finale, didn't it? Like if this was a normal TV show, any TV show, pick one. Big things happen in finales. Also, big things happen at the beginning of new seasons. Whether it's a new beginning or wrapping things up or starting a new angle, that's just how TV works. So this very much felt like that. I would say it felt like more of a season premiere than a wrap to a season that left you with a cliffhanger, because none of these stories existed before last night. Right, you don't have something that comes out of the blue that isn't really in sync with the last few months of your storytelling and expect that to be considered a cliffhanger for a finale of the season. This very much felt like a season premiere, really shaking up the formula. I would have loved to have been involved in the production meetings that they had for Raw over the last week, right? I mean, I could hear, guys, we got to shake things up. Think outside the box. Right? Yeah, I mean, you can hear it. And to their credit, they did. So I know many of you expected me to come on here tonight, or whenever you're listening to this, and just completely destroy WWE. I don't. I don't think, again, you could you phrase this as a panic move to just throw out three big angles and see what sticks? Yeah, I guess you could. But We really can't judge that based on one night of storytelling with these angles. Until they're fleshed out and we're able to see where they're going and if it actually worked, then we can judge whether or not this was a panic move of just doing big shocking things in an episode of Raw to see if it spikes ratings. And we don't really know where we're going with it, but we're going to see what happens with the ratings and we're going to see what happens with viewership. We're going to see what happens with social media reaction to gauge whether or not we're going to continue with this. And so it was just, again, it was a weird night. It was a weird night, just as the announcers put it. That's exactly what they phrased it as, and that's exactly what it was. Samoa Joe getting involved with Seth Rollins. Again, I thought for sure AOP was going to come back. Still wondering when they are. We have Dominic in a match at SummerSlam against Seth Rollins. We have a kid in a match against Seth Rollins. It's just weird. I mean, we have Angel Garza continuing to swoon Charlie Caruso. I guess that's not weird, but it adds to the weirdness just because it's kind of strange on its own. We had Bianca Belair and Street Profits facing off against the Andrade, Angel Garza, and Zelina. And apparently Montez Ford was poisoned. Like, look at up and down. Everything was bizarre. So, I mean, now we're thinking about the masked men attacking the generator. We're thinking about probably Raw Underground is probably the number one thing that people are going to be talking about coming out of this because it's just so different. And Shane McMahon returning in kind of a weird way was very different. And certainly those would be the two big stories. The Hurt Business with MVP, Shelton Benjamin, and Bobby Lashley, who has had quite a fall from grace, let me tell you. For all those that thought that he was going to be maybe a SummerSlam main event with Drew McIntyre as a rematch or in a three-way with Brock Lesnar, I said that would happen or thought that would. And we're being proven, unfortunately, wrong. That indeed, WWE had no intention beyond their, Backlash? No, Money in the Bank match, that they would actually continue their program. And they didn't. They didn't. And it's very disappointing that Lashley's in the position he is. I understand why Randy Orton's in the position he is. I believe he should win the championship at SummerSlam. But at the same time, it's kind of I think it's a lost opportunity with Lashley. I know that he's being featured now in this group. But boy, oh boy, I know I'm touching on a lot of topics because I honestly don't know where to start. There's so much to get into in this Raw that it's really hard to pick a single topic. So I'll go with one in a minute. In fact, in a minute, I'm going to start with that Raw Underground because it is the biggest thing probably coming out of Raw. I would say most people probably feel that way because it was just woven throughout the fabric of the show last night. We're going to get to that. But first, thank you guys for joining us here on the WWE Podcast. We are here 6 times a week, sometimes more. If it's a pay-per-view week, we're on 7 times a week. And it's really a joy to have you guys on the show and listening. I do have some voicemail to get to tonight. And if you want to also send a voicemail to us, you can do so by either emailing us at realwwepodcast@gmail.com or you can send us a voicemail. Just call this number. It's not manned. I always say this. People think it's going to be weird. I like pick up the phone and it's awkward. No, nobody listens to this number. It doesn't ring to my phone. It doesn't forward to anybody's phone. It'll ring a normal amount of time and then it'll pick up to voicemail. And that's where you just leave your number you leave your comment, suggestion, anything to us at 518-952-0247. That's 518-952-0247. So that is where you leave your voicemail, and we're going to get to one in just a moment as well. Maybe I'll break up the show. I'll talk about the Raw Underground, and then I'll go to a voicemail, and we'll move on with the rest of Raw. But also, while we're on the topic, hit up the website at wwepodcast.com. And if you're interested in contributing to this show, meaning you want your own show, yeah, your own show. How about that? You can send me an email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com or get in touch with me on Instagram at @WWE_podcast. And let me know you're interested and why. I mean, I'd prefer that you have previous audio experience, passion for wrestling, and at least a high quality microphone. That, I mean, those seem to be the bare minimums that I'd recommend and prefer. And I know I've gotten interest from several of you. So thank you to everybody who's gotten back to me with their interest. I really do appreciate it. And we'll be getting to making a decision on what show it's going to be, who's selected in the coming days, maybe week or two. We're trying to narrow it down and see. So, all right, let's talk about Raw Underground. Let's talk about it. First impressions. First of all, I'm interested to hear what your impressions are. I can't because I'm listening to silence. But I want to know what they are. If you email me or even leave a voicemail, what did you think of Raw Underground? At first, you know, I said, oh my God, right? I said, here we go with some corny, play fighting, cheesy, pre-produced version of some kind of spar fighting, right? I mean, and it did kind of have that flair, even throughout the raw presentation. It kind of had that little bit of cheese to it. Not in a way that's like, Money in the Bank, Ladder Match, or Swamp Fight, or any of that stuff. But it had that, really? So you're telling me that there's these girls that are hired to dance on stage. And I know the look they were going for, a very kind of hole-in-the-wall place, a smoky, foggy room. Somebody got it. It looked very familiar from like a movie. And I can't put my finger on what movie this was pulled from. But or TV show. I can't. But they did a good job of mimicking some movie. I don't know what it was. Fight Club? I don't know. But it was very well done in its presentation. From, yes, the foggy lights were good. The background music really helped. You know, at first I said to myself, oh, God. Like, where is this music coming from? And the camera angles, how is this happening? How is this being sanctioned by WWE? You know, how's it going to look? Are they just going to play fight? And it was done well. It was done well. And from a presentation standpoint, I think it was done pretty darn well, as good as they could have done with something like this. We had people up in like the scaffolding watching. It felt like Def Jam Vendetta. Maybe it was like a video game throwback or something. It's some mix of things that I've seen before in movies, TV shows, and video games that they all threw together in one thing. So I think they did as good as they could have done with something like this from a presentation standpoint. I really believe that. It was well done from, again, lighting to audio to the people surrounding the ring, that they took the posts down. It was just a very matte grappling type of presentation. Very, I guess, UFC style. It was like a UFC style of pro wrestling, if that makes sense, where they did a lot of takedowns and big haymakers that landed, which you never see in UFC. Never. I mean, in UFC, you just don't land haymakers like they did in WWE here. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So they went with a very ground-and-pound type of fighting style. And to be honest, that's really all they can do with this fighting style. Because you can't spar like you would spar in an octagon standing toe-to-toe. It's very double-leg. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, here's where I kind of turn on this thing a little bit. So, pluses. Let me recap. Presentation. I'll get to Shane in a minute because I'm not sure how to feel about him. The fans around the ring, or the trainees around the ring, or local talent, whoever they were around the ring with no posts. Good. Very good. The music actually helped. The camera angles. I normally bitch about the camera angles. I kind of like them. I did. I kind of like them because it made it feel like a really like a fight. Kind of like a cinematic, but a live cinematic fight. It was intriguing, at least. That was good. Kind of a dusty old warehouse or basement that people just go to fight, right? So that's the good. Now let me kind of turn on this thing, as I said. Here comes a little bit of like, what the hell's going on? Shane McMahon, number one. Storyline-wise, he shouldn't be here. But we all just throw that out to the pasture because storylines don't matter. Consequences don't matter. And consequences of losing a match don't matter. So there's that. Shane hosting this, I mean, it's a McMahon on TV. Again, they spike ratings. So McMahon on TV, I'm fine. We haven't seen Shane in, 6 months, maybe more. So he's back. It's not like he was sucking the air out of the TV when he was on SmackDown incessantly. So there's that. Shane's back. And I'm okay with it for now. I don't know how this concept was created. No one explained it. No one explained why it's here, what its purpose is, and where it's going. Maybe that's the idea. You don't give everything away on the first night. I understand. So I understand that. Now, into the more physical part of this. Is everyone's skill set just a double leg takedown and haymakers? Is that everyone's skill set? I know Bobby Lashley did like a big slam or whatever, but he's an insanely strong dude. And he actually has MMA experience. So, in Bellator. So, it just seemed like every fight ended in double leg takedown and just pummeling. That's just how almost every fight ended. Oh, no, I'm sorry. One was a submission. But can they do anything beyond that? Can they do anything beyond double leg takedown and pummeling? Yeah, you can do, again, submissions maybe. I was concerned that this was going to be a Brawl for All remake. Anybody else get that bad feeling? This is going to be some kind of Brawl for All 2. if you don't know what Brawl for All is, Google it. It was a big, big, big flop in WWE in the late 90s, put together by Jim Ross, of all people. And he will admit it out loud that it was a terrible idea. But it felt very much like that. So I was concerned at first, but that's not what we got. We did not get a Brawl for All. It was an MMA style of pro wrestling. And beyond the takedowns of double leg takedown and ground and pound, which seemed to be almost every single fight that we saw, and I say fight in air quotes, it was stiffer than normal, but you could still tell they were pulling punches, as they should be. I don't want people actually trying to kill themselves in here. And also, where's this going? Like, what's the goal of this? Because how are you supposed to present this on the main show? Just because kind of all the, like, the rejects of Raw that don't have anything to do go to this dusty, dirty place in the Performance Center? And what do you do once this is gone in the Performance Center? Do you carry this on the road? I don't think this thing has long-term plans. I think it's kind of one of those deals that WWE is like, hey, it's a cool idea. It looks like we'll stick around in here for a while. We're not going to be traveling, so let's just do this thing. And furthermore, if this style is so effective, and you saw Dolph Ziggler there. Why weren't they using this in the ring when they were competing for championships? Or against real competition in the ring on regular Raw? Why weren't they doing this ground and pound stuff? Because they were too busy about stealing the show and having just good matches instead of freaking winning? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So why is your style changed up if I'm supposed to believe on Raw that you're actually competing and really trying to beat your opponent, that you all of a sudden become ground and pound? I don't get it. I know there's no ring ropes. I understand that. There's no ring ropes. There's no ring posts. That certainly takes a lot of the arsenal out of most people, especially Dolph Ziggler. But is this kind of like a Street Fighter? I don't know. I don't understand. And furthermore, like, again, how is this supposed to be presented? You can't do it in front of fans because it's supposed to be a backstage, dirty, dusty basement type of just blood and guts and dirty place. I understand the setting they're going for. So you can't do it in front of fans. It always has to be a backstage thing. So how do you build stars doing this? I'm assuming eventually you create a star or stars from this format and then translate them into the main Monday Night Raw presentation inside a normal ring. But then do they change their style and start actually just wrestling and doing headlocks and flips and somersaults when what brought them to the dance was kicking ass back in Raw Underground? There's a lot of weird stuff happening here. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. And I'm not trying to trash it. I'm looking at this from a logical perspective, which is probably a fault in and of itself. But I don't know what the end game is with this. Does anybody have any clue as to what the end game is with this? We had the Hurt Business end up dominating at the end, taking out everybody except Shane, and everyone left after they beat up a couple of people and Bobby Lashley, you know, threw a worked punch on somebody. I mean, I don't know what the end game is of this. I'm interested right now because it's the shiny new toy that WWE has. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's got an opinion about it. So I'm here for it, and I'm interested in seeing it. It does have me a little bit hooked now, simply because, number one, it's new. We all love new. Until that gum that you put in your mouth, that new stick of gum, starts to taste stale after chewing it for a while, we all enjoy it. So that's where we're at right now. We all are in it's a new piece of gum. It's a new flavor of gum. Let's chew it and see how long we can take it before we spit it out. So that's where we're at. Number one, it's new. Number two, it's a new format. Never seen something like this before. And like number three, what's the end game? What's the goal? I don't know how much they're investing in this. Does it have to anything to do with anything that's of value, or is it just one of those kind of let's just change it up to change it up and see what the ratings do, but we don't have an end game for it. And once we go back on the road, this thing dies. I don't know. Probably all questions that I guarantee they can't answer. I guarantee it. So let me know what you guys think. Very, very interesting and perplexing presentation that you heard some of my good, you heard some of my bad, you heard some of my uncertainty. It's hard to give a complete, full, straightforward opinion on something when I've seen it for one night. But there it is. That's the best I can do right now. All right. Well, before we go any further, and after this, I'm going to get into Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton's promo, get a little audio from that. Very interested to get into that audio. I'll let you guys hear that with me. And then Seth Rollins and Dominic. We're going to get into Montez Ford being poisoned, which, good God, I mean, I really don't have much good to say about that. Okay. And you're going to want to stay tuned for my thoughts on that, because apparently no one even pays attention to, never went to like science class in middle school. I mean, like never, like, so we'll get to that. And a ton more. So, all right. So we're going to play that voicemail and then get into more of Monday Night Raw right after this.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Hey guys, so the NFL season is right around the corner. And what better way to get yourself ready for the season than to check out clips on YouTube? Well, that's why you should check out Highlight Fanatics. It's a brand new YouTube channel dedicated to giving you some highlight entertainment. So what exactly are these highlights? Well, how about NFL's biggest hits? Tom Brady's 6 rings, NFL social distancing, and the NFL's biggest wide open drops. So check out Highlight Fanatics on YouTube and get yourself ready for the NFL season. Guys, this is going to be one of those YouTube channels that takes off. So get in early. Check out Highlight Fanatics on YouTube today. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global, onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global, and there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, it'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground, and this is going to be huge, guys, I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own, any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, everybody. So let's get into the Monday Night Raw piece of Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. The promo, rather, that was really much needed. That was the one thing that needed to happen here. Not necessarily physicality. Randy Orton hit the RKO last week. Doesn't mean Drew needs to retaliate this week. I think the spar of words was the right thing to do. And it really was a put up or shut up time for Drew McIntyre. And that's what it came down to. And, you know, he did well. I wouldn't say he knocked it out of the park against Randy Orton. If indeed some of that was just ad lib off the top of your head, let's show us what you got, kid. If it was one of those things, I think he did good. I'd give him a B. If I was a school teacher and grading him, he would get a B. He was good. Randy Orton, I think, was slightly better. But given his position, given his experience, he should be better than Drew McIntyre was. But it wasn't like Drew didn't feel like he belonged. He did. He still does, and he always has felt like he does belong as champion. But this was, to me, a learning moment for Drew. It was a test of sorts for Drew McIntyre to see if he could hang with somebody like Randy Orton in an ad-lib situation. Assuming it's ad-lib. I'm sure, again, I'm thinking that some of it was memorized, some of it was bulleted, and the rest he filled in with his own mind. So let's listen to it. This is the beginning of the promo of Drew coming out and addressing what happened to him last week on Raw, getting an RKO out of nowhere.
Randy Orton has spent 20 years preying on vulnerability. He's not the kind of guy that would show you how he felt or maybe a finger gesture like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's not the kind of guy that would rip off his elbow pad, throw it in the second row, drop the people's elbow like The Rock. Now, according to Randy last week, he's way better than those guys. He's the kind of man that would wait till you're finished an Extreme Rules match, slither in the back door, and hit you with an RKO out of nowhere. You know what? That's on me. You warned me, Randy. You told me it was coming, and it happened, so thank you for that education. Lesson learned. It will never happen again. Now, Randy, I know how motivated you are right now. You're just as motivated to take my WWE title as I am to keep it. The similarities, they don't end there, do they? Once upon a time, at one time or another, Vince McMahon himself looked at us right in the eye and told us we were the chosen one. We were the future of this industry.
All right, so I'm going to pause it right there before we go on here. Again, Drew feels like a champion. He feels like he belongs. You listen to him here addressing that, yeah, you got me last week. You warned me it was coming, and it's on me. It's my fault that that happened because I shouldn't have let my guard down. Even though everyone at home knew it was coming too the whole night, Drew didn't, and said it won't happen again. And then starts to get into the past year. We start to see a story form of Randy Orton and how this whole thing came about. And maybe their history that we didn't know about before. And as you just heard, Vince saying that you guys are the future of this company. So let's continue on and see what else Drew has to say. And then we'll get to Randy's response, which was, to me, scalding.
Yeah, things didn't quite go to plan. I think Edge said it best. This wasn't your plan A. I don't know if it was your plan B or your plan C or your plan D, to be honest. You didn't lie awake in Scotland as a kid, a country of 5 million people, thinking about how you were going to make it to the WWE, to be the first one from your country to ever do it, to grow up having everybody calling you crazy for dreaming so big, giving everything you could, sacrificing everything, and finally pulling it off. Did you, Randy? It was handed to you. I don't resent you for it. No. I do find it interesting, though, when you brag about some of your accolades. Your early accolades I'm talking about. You know, the ones that were fed to you on a silver spoon because your dad is Cowboy Bob Orton.
All right, so that was Drew's, again, there's a little more to it, but I don't want to have this whole podcast be a recording of Raw. Drew addressing Orton, that he, this wasn't his plan A. And again, he did take that from Edge. Edge said this first, and saying that it feels like this is not the place you want to be, that this was kind of your backup to a backup to a backup to want to be here. And you're not like me. I took the road of sacrificing everything I could to get here. You were spoon-fed it because of who your dad is. I mean, we've seen this before. We've heard this before from Edge. So this kind of felt like a little bit too much of a rehash of Edge. So I take some points off there, albeit good points. They aren't your points. And Orton gets into that too in a minute. But it feels very Charlotte Flair-ish because of the fact that, hey, we all have heard the promos against Charlotte Flair time and again about it's, oh, you're only here because of who your dad is, right? So, all right. And then we get Randy Orton's response, which I think was a showing that Randy Orton is still a little, not even a little, he is a level above the rest when he wants to be. So take a listen.
I'm going to stop you right there, Drew. I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm going to ask you, is my respect for you not enough? Just last week, I came out to this ring, and I told the entire world that you had my respect, but you choose to come out here. You choose to repay me by telling the world, in turn, that I was handed everything? That I don't even want to be here? Let me ask you something, Drew. If I didn't want to be here, then why the hell am I here? I've made my money. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here because I enjoy coming down to that ring each and every week, hitting RKOs and punt kicking heads. Now, I enjoy, I appreciate your fighting spirit. I truly do, which is why it's going to be that much more sweet at SummerSlam when I hit you with an RKO and punt kick you in the skull and take that WWE title away from you. Now you say that I should have been fired years ago. You're right. I should have been fired. Over and over and over again. I should have been fired multiple times, but I wasn't fired. You were fired. You want to know why? Because I am more valuable to this company than you ever were or ever will be. I have been given chance after chance, second chances, third chances, four, five, six, the list goes on. I have been given those chances, Drew, because I am the chosen one. Then, now, and forever.
I mean, that's just a great point by Randy. I mean, you talk about some truth there, right? You talk about the truth coming out there that even if you hate Randy Orton, how can you possibly argue with that? How can you argue with the fact Randy Orton's way more valuable than Drew McIntyre to WWE? There were incidents, I'm sure, many, many times, things we've heard through the grapevine of Randy Orton's shenanigans backstage, of disrespecting women, all these things that probably are true. Probably are true, but was given a pass because of how valuable he is, because of who his dad is, and it's damn true. To steal a line from Kurt Angle, oh, it's true, it's damn true. Randy Orton is extremely valuable to WWE. I think there's a lot of truth in that. I really, really, really do think there's a lot of truth in that. And also the fact that he had friends in high places, Triple H, Batista, right? So that doesn't hurt either. So Randy Orton had a lot going for him. If he was anybody else and he did the things that he did, and we'll probably never know the exact things that he did over the years in the locker room and everything else, he would have been fired. If he wasn't Randy Orton, he would have been fired. And Randy Orton admits it. He admits it. That's what makes this great. He doesn't deny it. It's such a great comeback by Randy saying that he is more valuable, which is why they didn't fire me. It's great. So I love this promo. And well, let's take a listen, but I promise this will be the last clip. and then we'll move on to something else on Raw.
Now, I think it's cute. It's real cute. You come out here and you're quoting legends. You're quoting Edge, but I dare you. In fact, I challenge you right now, in this moment, on that mic, in this ring, to come up with one opinion about Randy Orton on your own. Key word, original.
All right, well, there's a little bit of mishap there, right? He never actually said the word original first to say keyword original. You have to say the word first to say the keyword I just said is original, because he didn't say it. But, again, a little mishap there. But, hey, we knew what he was implying, and it's true, right? How would Drew McIntyre respond to this? How would Randy Orton, or what would Drew do with this? And that's where I got a little nervous. Is Drew going to fold? Is Drew going to fold under the pressure if this part wasn't scripted or maybe just bulleted? And Drew ended up pumping out a story about him and Randy Orton when about 10 years ago when he was broken. He was on the edge of being fired. His world was crumbling around him. His wife was sick. And Randy Orton could have come and you know, just said something nice to him backstage after, I don't know, an event overseas or something, and he didn't. And that is, to me, it was very telling of a person of who Randy Orton is, which I believe this person is. That's what I think makes Randy Orton's character so great, too, is that I believe that he is truly this guy. Backstage, maybe he's improved over the years, but he feels like just the arrogant SOB that many people think he is on air. I believe that he is. That's what makes it great. So very strong promo segment between Drew and Randy. Very strong. It was designed to build a story. We don't just need this about physicality. We needed something behind it. We needed substance. We needed a foundation. We needed a path, a reason to have this be. And we got this Monday night. I liked it. It was well done. I'm looking forward to this match more than when I started Raw. So, yep, goal and objective accomplished. All right, so let's move on here to something else. I'm on tonight. The Hurt Business. The Hurt Business was also woven throughout the show. And it consists of Shelton Benjamin, MVP, and Bobby Lashley. And I'm fine with them together. I really am. I have no problem with them together. Some people may say, oh, there goes WWE, putting all the same people with the same ethnic people, the same people, the same race, and the same group. But it works. This group works. I don't think it's them necessarily putting all of the same colored people, skin colored people together. This is, again, a very, very sensitive subject because WWE doesn't exactly have the greatest track record when it comes to presenting and treating their African-American stars in the right way and all that kind of thing. I get it. I understand. So this could be them just by coincidence throwing these three together. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that piece of it, but yes, I noticed. So I like this group together. It certainly gives Shelton Benjamin something to do. I mean, beyond chasing the silly 24/7 championship that means, you know, less than his career does right now. It gives, again, it's something for him to do. And now we have MVP chasing the United States Championship, of which he lost to Apollo Crews clean. Yeah, there was some flickering of the lights, but we all know how easily people are distracted inside the ring. And MVP, it feels so weird. It feels so weird that Bobby Lashley's the afterthought in this group. How is that possible? That's the only problem I have with this group. MVP, brilliant on the mic. Shelton Benjamin, great. Great to see him being relevant again and getting TV time. But how the hell is Bobby Lashley sitting around? And how is he an afterthought in this group? It doesn't make sense. Maybe they have bigger plans for him in Underground. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's weird. And having him throughout the show was nice. I think WWE has quickly realized how valuable MVP is on the mic. He's just so good. Yeah, he stutters or flubbers every once in a while. He did on Monday Night too, a little bit. But in general, he is just a wizard on the microphone, and he makes you believe. So MVP has certainly resurrected his career to a level that I never thought he'd get it to. To me, he surpassed where he was before he left WWE. That's saying something. Because MVP, he was a fairly big time player before he left. I remember he faced Matt Hardy a few times. That's really the only thing I remember. But if you look at his accolades, he was in the semi mains at times, but never the guy, of course, never. So I think right now he has surpassed his previous run in WWE. So that being said, they dominated the Underground Fight Club, whatever it is, to close out Monday Night Raw. We were left seeing them as the lasting images of Raw. Fine. I mean, I'm very curious to see where this goes. There are apparently no rules in this thing. Maybe Bobby Lashley will break out of the leader as the leader of this group. But right now, MVP feels like the leader, and Bobby Lashley's like is heavy. And it's weird. Weird to see that. Moving on to the masked men attacking the generator at SmackDown at Raw. At first, I didn't even know that was the generator. I had to like to do a double take. They threw like fireworks at it or something. Molotov cocktails. Now, I really, really try not to get into politics on this show unless it's warranted, unless it somehow bleeds into the WWE product. WWE, Vince, can't be blind to see what's happening in the world over the last 2 months now, month and a half. I mean, you just can't. With all the riots and things going on, actually, that happened, what, Memorial Day? Wow. Okay, so, yeah, 2 months. And we saw pictures of people throwing Molotov cocktails that had masks on? I don't know. I mean, it looked very much... it looked eerily similar, when it didn't have to be, to what we've seen on the news over the last 2 months of people rioting and looting and burning stuff down and throwing Molotov cocktails. So I don't know if that was something that Vince thought about. I don't know. It was a little bit head scratching, like, I've seen this before on, you know, Fox or wherever you get your news, CNN. I mean, I'm not going to get into biases of news outlets, but I don't know. Did anyone else think that when you looked at that, you're thinking to yourself, really? Molotov cocktails? What is this? It hit a little too close to home in reality of what's actually going on in the world, the way that they did it. But it's a wrestling angle, so fine. I'm not offended by it. I'm just thinking, like, wow, they actually did that. Which messed with the power in the building. We don't know what their mission is. We don't know who they are. And that's fine. We have less information than we'd like, but that keeps us coming back. It's a hook. I'm very interested to see the ratings from this week and then next week. I want to know what that is, to see if these three angles did anything for ratings. I'm sure it's got people talking on social media. That's the whole goal. That's the whole goal of all of these things, is to have people throw their opinions out there to raise awareness and give free advertising for Raw. That's what this all does. That's what I'm doing right now on this podcast. Although I love talking about it, it still gives WWE promotion. And I'm fine with it. I'm all for supporting all wrestling promotions. But this angle, I don't know where it's going, who it is, what it is, or what it's about. They just seem to want to take down the system. If that's what it is, if it's a group that wants to take down the system, which is what the rumors I've heard, that wants to dismantle the way WWE has done things, you can't tell me that's not a microcosm of what's happening in the world today. And I'm just going to state the facts. I'm not going to give opinions. But the Black Lives Matter movement, one of their goals is to tear down the existing system of America. I'm going to save my opinions on that for another time and another day, maybe another total different show. But that's the fact. They're trying to tear down the system because they feel it's unjust and biased and all racist and all that, right? So you take that logic and you apply to WWE's storyline with this, with these masked men. And if that is indeed their goal, you can't tell me that's not a microcosm or a mirroring of that exact thing that's happening in the world today. That'd be pretty ballsy by WWE. I don't see why they couldn't do it. It's just, I'm sure they'll get some backlash from the actual Black Lives Matter movement, if indeed they're mirroring them in a way, saying that they're mocking them, right? You're going to get a whole bunch of comments. But I don't care. I mean, I'm not easily offended. You would actually have to try to make a lifetime's achievement out of offending me, because I'm just like, you know, whatever. But I have a feeling, a sneaking suspicion, that it's going to mirror what's happening in the world. not on a Muhammad Hassan level, where he was actually taken off TV because of angles they did that were super controversial. And Muhammad Hassan, just so you know, is a character that I want to get into on a show, like on a wrestling nostalgia show. I want to dive into Muhammad Hassan. If you guys don't know who he is, you need to Google him. For those earlier or younger listeners, for those that know who I'm talking about, Muhammad Hassan, between, I think it was 2004, 2005, he was only there for like a year and a half or a year. Probably one of, and could have been a legendary heel. He's already remembered as one of the best heels, and he was only there for a year. Imagine if he had had a run with the WWE Championship. If he had a long-standing career, he could have made mega bucks, and WWE immediately had the hottest heel on their hands with him. So, Muhammad Hassan was, oh God, I remember just so enthralled, so much hate for this character. It was just done brilliantly. So, I don't think they'll go to that extreme. And with Muhammad Hassan, just so you know what I'm talking about, the extreme was that they brought in masked men to attack The Undertaker. And Daivari was previously beaten by Undertaker. And he was carried out like a sacrifice outside of the ring and then up the ramp by these masked men. Well, the London bombings had happened a little bit after that. And UPN, which is where SmackDown lived at the time, said, you can't do this character anymore. It's got to go because it hit too close to home. So that was the end of the Muhammad Hassan character after he faced The Undertaker. So anyway, Muhammad Hassan is just the character I could dive into. So I'll save that for a special nostalgia show. Okay, moving on to something that is just puzzling to me, and that is this poison angle between the team of Andrade and Angel Garza with Zelina Vega and the Street Profits, who got semi-serious on Raw, at least. I mean, they always have to talk about, you know, the smoke or whatever. Like, you know, we want the smoke. Okay. Fine. I mean, they're very flamboyant and colorful. They're very cartoonish. I know that a lot of people like that. I'm more of the, give me a real person that I can relate to. Give me a character that's authentically believable and not just these clearly thought up, just wacky, over the top characters that are just generated by some kind of production meeting that feels like what these guys are a lot of times. And so anyway, we got this match with Angelo Dawkins and Angel Garza, and Angelo Dawkins ended up losing because he was distracted on the outside by Montez Ford, who earlier had taken a sip out of the cup. If you noticed, he kind of gave it a weird look and then went to the outside of the ring. And during his partner's match, he ended up, you know, shaking the ropes and then basically collapsing on the outside of the ring. That distracts Angelo Dawkins, who then gets rolled up and, or not rolled up, but ends up losing. I think he took a finish and lost. And so Angel Garza wins. By the way, he was just obsessed with wooing Charlie Caruso. And so he's being tended to on the outside. We're wondering what's going on. Next thing you know, he's back up. He's back up in his match. What? What? With Andrade? What? How does this happen? How? You know, I don't know where to start with this, because if this was truly poison, let me just tell you something. Wouldn't it have taken that long to hit Montez Ford in the first place? Taking those few minutes during the match? Yeah, it could have. It could have, depending on the poison. And having him shake the ropes and collapse made sense. If you're going to have poison, I guess it could act that quickly. I don't know why he didn't kind of stumble around first. I'm pretty sure it doesn't hit you that quickly like a lightning bolt. Poison usually takes its toll slowly. That's typically what happens, right? Like, most poisons take their toll slowly. You start stumbling around, you get a faraway look, maybe you vomit a couple of times, and then you collapse. In this case, it was like Montez Ford got struck by lightning and then just dropped. It was not a good sell. But what made it more confusing is suddenly the poison went away and he was able to have a match like nothing happened. Until he shook the ropes again, like the ropes were electrified, right? The ropes were electrified. He did his little, Ultimate Warrior shaking of the ropes and collapsed again. I'm pretty sure that's not how poison works. I'm pretty sure poison is not biased to shaking ropes to be activated. Pretty sure on that. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I have pretty good faith in that statement. So I have no idea what this... It was poorly executed, poorly believable. I mean, like how... No poison does that where it just kind of comes and goes. It either is there or it's not. Angelo Dawkins, if he was truly poisoned and he collapsed the first time, he would not have gotten better. He would not have gotten better a minute later to pop up to have his match. That's not how it works. I don't know. It was bizarre. And then at the backside of this angle, he's in the trainer's room and Angelo Dawkins comes out. And then we have Montez Ford's wife come out and Bianca Belair go all ghetto on Zelina Vega, right? And get in her face, accusing her of poisoning him. And Zelina denied it. And they got, Bianca Belair struck Zelina Vega and they got in this big pull apart. I mean, we all thought that that's where the poison came from. I immediately thought that that's where he got poison from was his cup, the way he looked at the cup before the match and then collapsed and then miraculously came about only to get, collapse again. Maybe he just, all he has to do, maybe the doctor's recommendations are just don't shake the ropes, Montez, and you'll be fine. Maybe there's some kind of ultra intelligent poison that knows when you're shaking the ropes like a hyena. I don't know. I don't even know what analogy to make. He shakes them pretty crazily. He's ultra charismatic, and he is the star of that team. And I'm looking forward to what Montez Ford does in a singles role at some point. I don't know. This whole thing is weird. It was not the best thing of the night. I will say that. But moving on, something else that was very interesting was Seth Rollins intimidating Tom Phillips and saying that he is very, he's biased and that the people listening at home and their little brains are swayed and skewed by what you say, cheering for what happened to me last week with Dominic getting retribution. Again, guys, I hate to call out politics. I do, because it's not what this is about. You come here to escape it. But I'm going to call it like it is, and a spade a spade. And you may say, what are you talking about? What politics in this story? The politics of Seth Rollins talking about, basically, in a roundabout way, Tom Phillips is the media, and the media are biased. And it's not your job to skew the opinion. You call it down the middle. That's what objective journalism is supposed to be. That's what objective professionals are supposed to be, is down the middle and not providing an opinion on the matter. And what do we hear constantly in the news? If you're into politics or watch the news even casually, you know the bias that certain news media outlets have. It's rampant right now. This isn't just a nuanced news story. This is all over the damn place. Again, somebody really went to town on the politics of the world and really injected them into storylines this week. And so it was just interesting. And Seth almost beat up Tom, except we had Samoa Joe stand up to both Murphy and Seth, almost getting in a fight with them until we had Dominic make the save for Samoa Joe, which is kind of weird to say. But Dominic came in and was able to get the upper hand on both Rollins and on Murphy, and we had Samoa Joe just sit back down. I like how Samoa Joe actually grows a set. He transforms from kind of this little announcer minion that says whatever comes through his headset from Vince into the Samoan machine that I know he is when he gets in a real confrontation. This is the second time he's gotten into an altercation with Seth and his group. If you remember, the first time was with AOP. Joe ended up paying for it. And now we get it again with Murphy and himself. But I love Seth Rollins' pace in his promos. You see how slowly he spoke, how intentionally he spoke to Tom Phillips. This kind of like silent anger, which is to me the scariest kind of anger. And it was just so well done. And telling Murphy to take him, as if he's going to just, you know, kidnap him. It's just all well done. I mean, I'm loving this Seth Rollins. He's getting better by the week. And yeah, he accepted Dominic's challenge to a match at SummerSlam. That should be interesting. From what I see from Dominic, he doesn't look super polished, but he doesn't look awful. And I don't think they would ever put him inside the ring with somebody that is a risk of injuring himself and or his opponents. So, oh, we also had Eric and Ivar in this Raw Underground. I don't know. And how long has this been going on? There's just so many questions I have. Very, very interesting. I don't know. I'm going to try to not pass judgment because it's only 1 week. Okay. We also got Shayna Baszler and Sasha Banks in a no contest. After Bayley interferes. Well, how is this a no contest? This is weird. They just stopped the match with no determination. How is it not a disqualification or a count out? It just stops? That made no sense. So clearly they are saving Shayna Baszler versus Sasha Banks for SummerSlam, of which we kind of got confirmation of that as we got Sasha volunteering Bayley for telling Shayna, if you can beat Bayley, you earn your opportunity at me. I think Bayley's going to return the favor on SmackDown to whoever challenges her for the belt on SmackDown, saying, if you beat Sasha, then you can face me at SummerSlam. That's how it's going to go. These two, I think, are going to volunteer one another for matches. And we continue to get teases of the breakup. This is another tease where they volunteer one another. So it's a long-term story, and I'm glad they're not rushing to it, because I don't think they expected this to be such a success with these two. And I like the slow build. And when you think they're super, super tight and there's no problems, they show you a little bit of something. That's what they did here. They show you, hey, there's cracks in the foundation, albeit small. They are there, and they are growing. So the other thing that happened on Raw, Kevin Owens had the KO show with, who was it, Ruby Riott? I believe it was. And it ended, you know, Kevin Owens, I don't know what he's doing. Like, when they don't know what to do with him, they put him in the KO show. That's what they do. It's kind of sad what they've done with Owens. I would like to see him in a more prominent role. He's not even on the Hulu version of Raw. I had to actually read what happened with Owens in the Kevin Owens show. And I'm actually reading it. I read it before, but I'm just kind of skimming to make sure I don't miss anything of what happened. Basically there to talk about Peyton Royce and that Riott beat Peyton Royce, and Riott said that she's had pretty bad luck and was unable to win a singles match since February. Yeah, that's rough. And then Liv Morgan joins the show and they get in a little bit of a scuffle, and then the Iconics interrupt. So the Iconics, man, they have fallen from grace. I don't know why. It was Billy Kay and Peyton Royce versus the Riott Squad with Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott. And, you know, I don't know what they're doing with the Iconics, given how good they are. They put them right back where they left. And in the undercard of the Raw Women's Division. It makes no sense. I hope that Ruby Riott has always been the star of that group, of the Riott Squad. Obviously, Sarah Logan is gone. But, and now we have Liv Morgan back. Like, what? I thought Liv Morgan was off on her own. She got rid of the pink tongue and she's a new woman. I don't know. But this whole thing's kind of a mess. I just hope that they do something with Ruby Riott that's actually meaningful. She's deserving of it. Something different. I think that they eventually will. They're just kind of grooming her, giving her some experience, letting fans see who she is, what she is. And it's just I think it's going to be a long journey for Ruby Riott. And maybe in 2021, we see her challenge for the Raw Women's Championship. I'm not saying she's going to win it, but I'd say she challenges for it. At least gets in the conversation, especially as depth grows thinner. And in the Raw Women's Division, and we really run out of matchups to make. I think Ruby Riott will benefit from that as we head into the spring of next year. I think it's probably going to be that long. Maybe late this year, but I doubt it. Okay, What's the other thing that happened here? We had Nia Jax get suspended. Boy, this is not a great segment. After putting her hands on a backstage producer, Pat Buck, she stood in the center of the ring with the former wrestler and denounced the idea of an apology. Instead, she challenged Buck to a match. She bullied him and refused to take no for an answer. And then Buck suspended Jax without pay and then headbutted Buck to the mat and kicked him out of the ring, her frustration and anger boiling over. Why was she brought back to just be written off? Like, why would you bring Nia Jax back to just have her be written off again? Maybe that WWE is finally saying, hey, you need to figure out your in-ring ability so you don't injure more stars. Maybe that's what this is. I'm not sure. But she's gone. When they say indefinitely, that tells you that there's either she has an injury we don't know and she needs surgery, or they just need to have her go away for a while. They've got nothing for her. And while you're at it, improve your in-ring ability so you don't, cause more injuries. So that's really all I got for Raw. I know we had Apollo Crews versus MVP. I know I kind of mentioned that, but Apollo Crews is obnoxious as a champion. I don't know why he's a babyface. I think he should join MVP. But I can't stand his laugh. I can't stand his smile. He's very vanilla. He's stomach-churningly nice. He's just, I do not like Apollo Crews' character at all. Have never liked it. Because we haven't known a whole lot about him other than, okay, he's athletic. Yeah, that's wonderful. So is everyone else on the roster. So there's a quality that, great, you possess, but everyone else does too. And we never do anything about him other than, oh, he's got a great smile. So we would incessantly smile because, oh, I'm a good guy. That's what baby faces do. They smile all the time. And he would do that. And then he's very obnoxious on the mic. His laugh is extremely ear-piercing. I do not like it. I don't know how this guy's a babyface. I just don't. He's athletic. Great. I just don't like him as a guy I'm supposed to cheer for. So, just my thoughts. Well, that wraps up my Raw review. Guys, thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with your wrestling nostalgia. Maybe a From the Vault version. I will have to see if I have time to record. If I don't, you'll get a nostalgic version. Anyway, depending on what version I want to give you, whether it's fresh or whether it's from the vault, I don't know. But you will have audio tomorrow. And then, of course, Thursday is your AEW and NXT reviews from your hosts that I have so wonderfully brought upon our team of Zach Smith covering NXT. And we have our HSP guys of Brian and Jeff covering their AEW counterparts. So very interesting. I love both of our teams here. They've done very, very well, and great to have them on board. So outside of that, guys, I mean, head on over to the website. If you want to see more content, look at our latest columns. We just put one up the other day from our newest contributor. So check that out. And also hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Give us a subscription and a review if you want to help us in the ratings. That really does help us out. So. Alrighty, well, that's enough for me. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global, onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global, and there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, it'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground. And this is going to be huge, guys. I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own. Any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.